Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello from Philippa at the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Now more than ever, people are often turning to a book to provide them with a great escape, and I usually get asked, which book should I read next? There are so many to choose from. Well, help is at hand. The QuickBook Reviews podcast does what it says on the tin. It gives you some quick book reviews. You can tell how long it took me to come up with that market-leading title. Well done me. And it covers all sorts of different books you might be interested in. And, hopefully, a happy half hour with me chatting about life, cups of tea, biscuits and books. Lots of books. From crime to thriller to general fiction, audiobooks, even children's books. If I think it's good, I'll want to tell you about it. And if I'm not such a fan, I'll tell you that too. It's not about literature or fine arts. It's just about finding a good read that makes you want to keep turning the pages. Finding books that deliver a great ending. Fancy a listen? Download the QuickBook Reviews podcast and see what you think.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right, Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that are centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the correlation that is not causation, that is also known as Royfield Brown, and with me are the post hoc ergo prompter hoc that is
Kerry Warbis.
And this week's gin fueled bust up is
Peter Fickling.
Woo, it's the gang, we're all back. This week's Dumpty Dum is from the cast of The Archers. You know what, Kerry?
Yeah.
I think our lawyers need to speak to the lawyers down at the BBC, because that's our shtick, isn't it?
It is. They've nicked it right royally. But it was quite sweet.
Well, you know, I'm still seething. You know,
Fuming.
Absolutely. But, Kerry, if somebody would like to do another version of that popular intro for our favourite docudrama, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum or leave us a plot prediction, then call us on 0203 031 3105, leave us a message on SpeakPipe, or send a text message starting with Dum to 077 862 00690. Thanks to Yokel Bear and Millie Bell, our social media supremos, Cosmo for his podcast roundups, Mike Hatton for his character counts, Shambridge for her voices, and to Lucy V. Freeman.
On this week's episode, we have views from Mia, Francesca, Elsa, Laura Jackson. Ooh, she's in Arizona, don't you know? Vicky Cole, who's all the way in Sri Lanka. Claire Asprey, who's in Luton. Laura, Jack, and Beth. But you know what, folks? We decided to change things up And we now have a new section, which is called This Week's Burning Issue. How has lockdown Ambridge compared to your experience in isolation? Is it in contrast to the experience you've had with your friends and family? Kerry Warbis, I feel you might be exercised on this matter. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, it occurred to me whilst I was listening to this week's episode that my experience of lockdown has been, and my friends and family, is that it's made us really appreciate the simple things in life and each other, really, and each other's company virtually and so on. Whereas, in contrast to that, I think that in Ambridge, that doesn't seem to be happening, really. And there seems to be a series of carpings and bickerings going on between people and not much of a reflection about how COVID is highlighting to them the positive aspects of their lives.
What do you reckon, Peter? Has lockdown made you appreciate wiping the little one's backside even more? You know, this kind of simple things, you know, smelly nappies, you know, interrupted sleep. Those are the simple pleasures of life. Have you appreciated them more when you've been isolated from the rest of humanity?
Well, a new feature, in middle of new feature, Cyrus's bottom, he did a massive one today. It was very unpleasant. Anyway, I'm perhaps relaxing into the kind of the sort of slightly more misanthropic, angry listener role that has been, you know, to gain popularity. I got quite bored this week, and I think part of it is due to the sort of discordance between, you know, our life and the life in, you know, Ambridge. Originally, I think I was a very sort of happily distracted, you know, back to your point about nappies and all that mess. But now I'm kind of maybe a bit more aware of the production problems. And Kerry and I were on the phone during the week, and I was saying about, you know, you'd sort of waxed lyrical previously about how they were trying to deal with all these production issues, and they were trying to create more kind of lean and versatile vehicle for the program in these difficult times. But then surely that leanness should give them the ability to do some unusually current sort of topics or sort of reactions to the COVID crisis. They could, you know, and it doesn't seem, it doesn't, it, none of us in real life go even a single day without having one COVID conversation. So could they have not built a few generic ones in, to Kerry's point?
I don't know, chaps. I think it's a little bit harsh, considering that we do know that they record these, what, some 5-6 weeks in advance. So to have anything too on the nose, surely they're just going to be a hostage to fortune. Every week now, there's some level of loosening up the lockdown, and surely they have to just allude to things. But I think, though, that
I don't think it has to be on the nose or sort of quoting what Boris Johnson has said that moment or anything like that.
It just needs to.
But what I'm talking about is, you know, in the height of a global pandemic, do you not really, has this not happened to you guys at all, that you sort of think, oh, actually, the simple things in life are really valuable to me? You know, the frontline workers who are paid the least are the superheroes, that kind of thing. I know that's been slightly alluded to earlier on, but there seems to be so much bickering amongst the family members, which I don't hear happening amongst my friends and my family. But I might just be in a strange bubble of my own. I don't know.
To use the controversial clapping, you know, the now controversial clapping as an example, they don't have to have people on their doorsteps clapping every Thursday night, because that could age quickly. But they could have an argument between two people representing those two sort of viewpoints. Mm-hmm. The people who feel that, you know, broadly that the NHS have been treated badly by the Tory government, so to applaud is to sort of be disingenuous, and the people who think the NHS should be applauded no matter what, and not to get too political about it. So you could have that argument that people would sort of instinctively understood was relevant without being sort of caught up in sort of the exact current affairs.
But I think, though, Peter, the question is, how are they going to have that argument if everything's a monologue? If they're not feeling sufficiently technically confident enough to have conversations, what would this be like, a text argument or whatever? Mm. So
this week they had Susan and Tracy going at it, you know, across a series of media. So you could have people reporting back from a particularly pompous conversation between Brian and, I would guess, Tony, you know, to represent those two, you know, to represent the argument I was just sort of suggesting.
I think the other thing, though, is that the Archers stays clear of overt politics. Yes, there is an undercurrent of stuff, but I think you probably have a point, but that's the wrong example, because that overtly would be something, you know, on the nose political.
So the things that I'm feeling fortunate about are that I'm not in a bedsit all by myself in lockdown. I've got a couple of people I love in my home, and I've got a little garden. And that for me makes me feel very fortunate, and that I can get in touch with my mum by Zoom, who's not that far away, but we're not visiting each other, that kind of thing.
But Kerry, surely, to your point, Freddie fixing the toilet, wasn't that really it? Like, you know, not that fixing the toilet is one of the simpler pleasures in life, but there was Freddie kind of mucking in, and then through that, realising what Lower Loxley means to him.
Yeah,
I thought that was more about Freddie.
But there was no reference to, you know, in these times, I need to sort of try and help out more or anything.
I don't know. I thought that was how it kind of came in. I forget the name of the old retainer who they would normally ask to fix the toilet. But Reg. he says normally we get...
I think that's great, isn't it? Goebbels, sort of Bob Goebbels or something.
But I got the sense that he was pitching in. He was doing something he wouldn't normally do. These are, you know, these extraordinary circumstances. And then through that, he remembered his father, and it was about heritage. It was and about a sense of place. Because I did listen
this
week.
Elizabeth.
Well done, love.
Elizabeth said... Elizabeth said very clearly, I don't know why he doesn't just ask one of the help to do it, or some similarly kind of, you know, entitled word. She was very clear about that. I mean, I do take your point, Boyfield, that, you know, yes, this could have been a more subtle way of doing it. But the one thing we know about the COVID crisis is it lacks subtlety. There's no kind of nuance to it. And also, it's got one team. There's very few pro-COVID people. So you can be quite kind of aggressive with it. Like, you know, like I take your point about the politics, but no one's going to be sort of writing letters of complaint in if they sort of are anti-COVID or kind of like stridently pro NHS or something. I very much thought it was a plot arc about Freddie trying to be useful. I didn't even think about the connection to COVID.
I think the key thing really for me is you know, the bickering feels to me super, super petty and a bit, what's the word? Self-indulgent, when loads of people are having massive troubles outside of that world.
Hmm.
This could be you outing yourself as a nice person, Kerry. After such diligent work on Twitter, trying to, you know, with all your effing and jeffing, to suddenly, you know, come out here and be this very empathic and sensitive human being.
I am. I am multifaceted, I'll have you know.
Talking about multifaceted, we have not one, not two, not three, not four, but I'm not going to count all the way up to 10, but 10 caller inners this week. So what I think we should do, folks, is maybe circle back onto the topic of how realistic is the Ambridge COVID experience in between a little bit of caller inner action. All right?
Lovely.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Oh, first off, it's Jack.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers. It's Jack here. The letters to and from Freddie and Linda I feel work well. Please, no more Susan on the radio. I really feel that it doesn't work. Now, don't forget, Royfield Brown's Map Corner has just had two new podcast releases. And also, we have a new podcast from Shambridge, Harriet Carmichael, called Making Hay. Is there any news on Dialogue in the Arches? As I feel that The Arches is a radio drama, and dialogue is really what it makes it work and makes the episodes work too. Will we be having any monologues from Alistair Horse Paintings Lloyd? That would be quite interesting. Now, Lee, are you missing Peter? Oh, sorry, I've got your names mixed up, as you're quite similar. Sorry, I meant to say, Peter, are you missing Lee, as I know that you are a big fan? Well, thank you very much. Goodbye for now.
Thanks, Jack. That was brilliant. I was wondering at one point whether you were actually Royfield putting on a voice with all those plugs about his map corner. But
Isn't he a podcast listener of some delectation, is our Jack. Thank you for pimping me there, Jack.
The dialogue and when it's coming... I've read the BBC Archers tweeted that it, dialogue is happening in August. So that's the answer to that. Whether it will be broadcast in August or not, I don't know. But over to you, Peter, with your Lee love.
Well, I thought Russ made a few good points there. He was really... although I didn't like the letters as much as he did, I found them... It was a really heavy lift for the actors. Having to sort of not only stay in character but then kind of also act out what I felt was some fairly badly written sort of missives. And then equally I have enjoyed Susan relentlessly, and this is not just me being horrible to Jack because of his very unfair callback to my dislike of Lee. I just disagree on both counts. I enjoyed Susan and intensely disliked the letters.
But Susan played two records for Tracy, didn't she? Would that happen?
I thought that was intentionally petty.
Yeah.
But
I think it was.
I must admit, I'm kind of with Jack in that Susan, as the radio DJ, goes to underline what... I said last week, is that these are so obviously just placeholder episodes, and you literally can ignore the COVID Archers, and when it kicks up again, just take up, and there is going to be, you're not going to really miss anything. That's not to say that there isn't some insightful stuff on characters, their motivations, they're inner psyche, all of that stuff. Yeah. And whatever, but the fact that Susan is a DJ is so obviously filling time. It's exactly what DJs do. For me, the writers couldn't have written it more on the nose. We're just filling in time here. Nothing major is going to happen during these episodes because it can't. But we're putting something out.
Tim Bentinck even sort of mentioned that on the Zoom, didn't he, on Friday?
He did.
About, that these are, he pretty much said that they're placeholders and you can kind of take them or leave them, and that the real stuff is going to come back, and we all know that.
Sorry, because of Dumpty Dum, I've sort of had to change the way I listen to The Archers. And before I was a kind of happy little pudding, and now I've kind of been forced to be a more sort of, discerning gourmand. As part of due diligence, knowing I was coming back this week, I did listen to it for a second time. And it sort of struck me just how much the acting changes your appreciation of the different characters. And I think that's what I've been kind of reacting to. So I actually cyberstalked Susie Riddell a bit because I was so struck by the good job she was doing with Tracy. And on the second listen, I really started to notice some of the cracks that she was papering, some of the extra effort she was having to make to breathe life into it. And then I ended up sort of part of my cyberstalking watching a video of hers on the BBC Archers pages, where she was talking about, the opportunity to learn more about the characters. And maybe that's what they should have done. Maybe they should have just said, look, we're not even going to try and keep the plots up. We're just going to give you these insights into the characters. These are going to be sort of deep dives into their hidden thoughts and their hidden motivations. And then at least then we wouldn't be having to worry about all of these kind of connecting the dots, worrying about continuity or this sort of any of these kind of issues that we talk about.
Peter, I'm not worried. So I'm not worried at all. I must admit, I'm just letting the whole thing just wash over me. It's like a very superficial rinse. I must admit, I'm not that engaged. I listened to the shows last week, and when they were done, and when they were still halfway going through, they were kind of done as far as I was concerned. And I think one of the things for me, which I'm really getting out of this, is I think this kind of mono pace of the whole of the episodes. Nothing too dramatic can happen. Nothing too dramatic does happen. You know there's not going to be a cliffhanger or anything like that. So it's just one pace all the way through. And it's really made me appreciate, not that The Archers is famous for building up tension, but there is no tension in these shows at all. There isn't. Whether they're good or bad in terms of writing and acting, I'm putting that to one side. But the affect of the two things together, it's one paced, and you don't know where you are. You know, there isn't a line like, hello, you two. Oh, it's the start of the episode. There isn't, you know, something happening in the ball and you go, okay, this is the middle of the episode now. And there isn't a, oh my God, are they going to do this? Or, you know, or where is he or where is she? It's the end of the episode. It just is.
Yeah, it kind of drifts along, doesn't it? And I think the nearest we've had to tension is kind of Susan's regret about getting drunk again. Thinking, what did I do? What did I say? Yeah.
But hey, I think we've maybe given Jack a proper outing in terms of answering his call and then going off piste and talking about life, love, and the universe as it pertains to Ambridge in our reply. So, Jack, well done for that, sir. And I love your pimping. Feel free to pimp away on all of my podcasts every time that you call in, sir. And you're right, there is a new Map Corner, everybody, with Matt Breen from the Explorers podcast, which I put out just at 12:30 last night. Now it's Francesca.
Hello, it's Francesca here. I'm calling up just to make a comment on the Kate storyline with the menopause. I noticed on some of the Facebook groups there was a lot of discussion about it, and a couple of men saying that they didn't want to hear it wasn't relevant and nonsense like that. Well, to me, I thought it was really interesting because I, as a 36-year-old woman myself, and I've got all that to come, I realised after hearing that it's not something I actually know very much about. It's not something that people talk about generally, other than maybe hearing, oh, I've had a hot flush and things like that. But I don't recall really hearing about it on any television programmes, any radio plays, any films. It's just not something that is generally talked about. And so the fact that it's in The Archers at the moment is quite groundbreaking, I think, and a really positive step. So we've had lots of men's problems, such as Johnny and his hair loss. Why not have problems which affect 52% of the population as well? So yeah, I just want to applaud The Archers for including that, and I'm looking forward to hearing what happens with Kate and maybe finding out what's going to happen to me in the future. Ooh, a horrible thought, but yeah.
Francesca, I agree. I thought that was one of the really good things about these monologues, was that was a topic that was brought up that was kind of new to the plot lines. And I mean, it's not really been mentioned much since it was initially mentioned, apart from the menopause yoga class that she wanted to set up, which weirdly IFTY seemed to be part of, which was a bit confusing. But but yeah, it is good. It's interesting that men on Facebook don't want this to be covered in the drama. How do you men feel about that?
Yeah, well, I think it's right that we finally have a man's voice to sort of explain some of the intricacies of the menopause after listening to Kerry go on for ages about it. I was also interested about the Cape plot line with the menopause, and I was now that it's been brought up by Francesca, I'm sort of you know regretting that drifting away. I think Kerry and I actually talked about it a couple of weeks ago, and even just the brief chat we had, I learned a little bit sort of significantly more about the menopause than I knew before, and that was just 5 minutes of us joking around. I wouldn't waste any of your energy, Francesca, worrying about men's insecurities. I think you've probably got far more important things to do with your time. And yes, you're absolutely right to applaud the Archers for bringing it up, because I think, as with a lot of topics that affect 52% of the world's population, they're never mentioned. Then it's never brought up, or never, and certainly always treated as a joke. So I hope they resist. I mean, if they do joke about it, to Roy Field's point a couple of weeks ago about Black Lives Matter, I hope that they do sort of represent some of the more kind of chauvinist voices, in some of the characters in the village to help sort of set the conversation in more realistic relief.
Yeah, and it's such a personal thing as well, as in how you experience it, the menopause. So many friends of mine have experienced it in incredibly different ways, and they definitely haven't ever seen it in dramas, really, or heard about it much, I think, other than on Woman's Hour, perhaps. It kind of passed me by. That's why I'm not really talking about it much. I didn't really realise that I'd actually gone through it and come out the other side. So I didn't have any real struggles or sufferings to do with the menopause, but I have had friends who've really, really found it tough.
I mean, I'm 45 and I've never had a conversation with someone about it that wasn't just a joke. I've heard my mum crack a few jokes about it, you know. That's it. That's the full extent of my conversation about it in day-to-day life.
Yeah, there's a lot of women who open up about this subject on Twitter, I have to say. That is a rich source of women exchanging their experiences.
One thing about this storyline is that this is a carryover from the pre-COVID Archers, that very obviously there was a storyline where Kate thought that she was pregnant, and she's going through the perimenopause, isn't she? You know?
Yeah.
So, but even then, there is no denouement, so to speak, is there? It's a case of she's going to go through this, but this is one bit of connective tissue which takes us from where we were before to where we are now, and you know, and that is nice, whereas everything else just seems to be kind of like, you know, floating in the middle of nowhere, not doing an awful lot.
I think the fact that she was surprised that it might be happening to her was an interesting thing, that she hadn't even considered it.
She is stupid enough not to know about it. going to Dr. Google, typing in the symptoms, it's like, oh, this menopause that
True that. All right, Francesca, thanks for a great call. Now, ooh, it's my Vicky call. I believe she's back in Sri Lanka.
Hello, Royfield, Kerry, Peter, and everybody else in Dumpty Dum World. This is Vicky. I'm back in Sri Lanka. Sorry I haven't called in for so long. Just things are all very topsy-turvy, aren't they? I came back eventually to Sri Lanka at the end of May, but then I had to do 2 weeks quarantine in a hotel run by the Sri Lankan army. It was all very strange, but anyway, I think we're all going to have stories to tell after all this. Kerry, welcome. I'm enjoying your hosting. I'm hoping one day, eventually, when I get back home again, we can have a Brighton-based meet-up. I once had a summer job with American Express in that big blue and white building. Be very nice to meet you one day.
Oh.
So I don't know really what I think about these monologues. Well, I sort of feel I have to force myself to listen to them, and it feels a bit of a drag. And they always seem to be much longer. I don't know if other people are noticing that, but I listened to several this morning. I had a long car journey, and I listened to several back to back, and it seemed to go on forever. Which makes me think that perhaps I'm not enjoying them, really. Anyway, I am loyally listening to them, mostly, I have to say, so that I can properly enjoy Dumpty Dum. But then every now and again, there's a little bit that just catches me by surprise. I enjoyed the bit with Helen, because it did show that she still had some sort of vulnerability and problems left over from what she'd been through, because I think we'd not really had the sense of that before. She seemed to bounce back remarkably quickly without any counselling or anything as far as we knew. So that felt realistic. I thought it was interesting to hear a bit of Natasha's backstory, because she's quite a complex character, and that was very interesting. As I say, mostly it's been a bit sort of slow, although the Freddie and Linda bit this week I enjoyed a lot. Fingers crossed it all goes on. Anyway, much love to everyone. I'm running out of time. Take care. Stay well. Bye.
Oh, Vicky Cole. Yes, yes, yes. We must meet in Brighton when we're able to. And I can't believe you worked at American Express. That's hilarious. We will exchange stories about the time in that building for sure. The quarantine in a place run by the Sri Lankan army sounds fascinating.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a barrel of laughs, does it?
Not really, no. Bless her. And I like that she's listening to the episodes in order to then enjoy Dumpty Dum a little more.
True. So there is something about, and we have talked about this before, about the whole pacing, but then also the fact that these shows do seem to stretch the time continuum, that I honestly thought the first week when I, well, the first episode that I heard, which was David and Josh, that was a half an hour long episode. I was constantly looking at my watch and going, well, there's no way this is 12 minutes. And we were only 3 minutes in, you know, and it was just like, but it's the pacing, you know, and the fact that you don't have the backwards and forwards of conversation, and then the cutaway to maybe a little bit of silence, you know, it's a different scene, et cetera. It's just, you know, it messes with our subconscious perception of how the show is put together.
Yeah, it's funny because on Twitter, when the omnibus is on, quite a few people are surprised when it ends earlier. And it's like, oh, it's gone again. That's weird. So I don't know whether that's because they're just wanting it to last till quarter past like it used to. I haven't really seen that many people saying about it dragging on there. But yeah, I think you're right about the pace of it. You know, there aren't many peaks and troughs, are there? It's sort of a steady flow.
Yes, a very steady flow.
Like the toilet?
Oh, stop it. Stop it.
There was a lot of sound effects. A lot of toilet sound effects, and I was quite impressed with the kind of the different levels they had. And then also Vicky had some kind of parakeets in the background there, and yeah. They had peacocks in behind Freddie in the background behind Freddie, and I really admired that attention to detail when, you know, they were trying to transport the actor from the
Peter,
cupboard in the back
Peter,
of his flat.
You can tell a peacock from a parakeet.
I was guessing at the parakeet. I was 100% certain about the peacock. I've never given you my full title.
Yeah.
Peter Fickling, 4th Earl of Davenport, or whatever I am. I don't know. Yeah.
So other birds that begin with a P. What does a penguin sound like?
Beep, beep.
Peregrine Falcon.
And prove me wrong.
Yeah, Peregrine Falcon. Come on, let's keep going.
Oh, they're silent. They're silent and deadly. You only hear them when they strike. So the sound you hear of a Peregrine Falcon is its claws tearing into your face. That's
okay.
Which I can't do, I'm afraid.
Fantastic. All right. My Vicky Cole. Lovely to hear from you, and glad to hear that you are safe and sound in Colombo, in Sri Lanka. And now, Beth, you're up.
Hello. It's Beth Purnell here. I'm a first-time caller in ERA. I'm a retired teacher and trade union organiser. I started listening during the Helen and Rob episodes, which makes me a Jack or a Gideon, as I always think of him. I started listening to Dumpty Dum at the same time. I love the old format and I love the new format with Kerry and Peter. I've been lurking around all this time, so why have I been moved to join in? Because Adam is back in the monologues this week. Hooray! Controversial, but I love Adam. I think he is much misunderstood He should have followed his heart and followed Charlie to Scotland. Instead, he's stuck on the farm with Ian, Helen, Brian and Jennifer. No wonder he's miserable. I'm okay with the monologues, better than no Archers at all. Well, that's my first time caller in a ring done, so it's bye for now.
Oh, Beth, that was an interesting one.
Adam
is due to appear, isn't he, this week, I have heard. And she's a fan of our Adam and does think he should have run away, though. So
I would have taken Charlie over Ian at a, you know, in a moment's notice. Definitely.
Yeah, it was a surprise, that, really, wasn't it? Or not, because then he can stay.
Yeah. I must admit, when the character of Adam first came back to Ambridge, I was an Adam fan. But I think I was in large part an Adam fan because he was new. And also, I quite liked his, to me, quite posh voice. But as soon as he kind of settled in and just said, I'm tired all the time, I rapidly became an unfan. So I don't know. This is either going to be the monologue to end all monologues, or it's going to be the monologue that destroys all monologues, because he is the most 2D out of the major characters. Mm. He just says he's tired all the time. Brian, I don't have time, I'm tired. That is Adam.
He is quite horny, though. I think he's got a big libido, Adam. So I think that's what we're going to get. It's going to be a lot of Adam's lust,
Peter,
coming through.
I hope they throw something out of left field at us like that, because the character really needs it. If we're going to like dig into his brain and his inner thoughts, there's got to be more than just he's tired. So, yeah, bring it on.
I mean, every time he first appears in the omnibus, I always post a picture of a log. So monologue or monologue is going to be marvellous for me next omnibus. It's become quite famous, my log picture of Adam, and that is because of the 2D-ness of what happens with that character.
Do you think it's because he's often been at the sort of nexus of any number of plot lines? He's often kind of like he's the Didier Deschamps, the kind of water carrier, sort of shuffling information from one scene to another. And it's not so much, you know, it's just the way it's been. He's a very easy segue from Brian's office to the bull to, you know, back to Ian, off to the restaurant, and, you know, like he's useful in that way.
But he tries to get angry sometimes, doesn't he? It just sounds exactly the same. His range of emotions don't really, I don't know, help, do they? Because there aren't any.
I always thought that when Eric Cantona called Didier Deschamps the water carrier, that was somewhat harsh. You know, he was the fulcrum of a World Cup winning side. So arguably you could say that Adam is actually pivotal to the whole construct of Ambridge.
He's a right pivot.
Yeah.
My ears pricked up at the mention of Eric Cantona.
I'm disappointed you outed me, Royfield, because anyone who didn't know about the Eric Cantona quote would have thought I was sort of referencing some French philosopher and been incredibly impressed by my erudition and depth of thought.
No, no, it was footy and late 90s footy.
Yeah. Is he related to Marcel Duchamp, do you think?
Didier? Well, no, I really am out of depth. I'd have no idea about French philosophy. So,
right. So that's that. Peter's out of his depth, and now it's time for Laura.
Hi there, Royfield, Carrie, Dumpty Dummers all around the world. This is Laura Jackson calling in from Pandemic Central, Arizona, USA. Since I'm in isolation, I've had plenty of time to ponder why so many Archers listeners are struggling with the monologues. I have a theory. I hate to admit it, but as part of my listening routine, I usually listen to each episode multiple times, mainly because they're very good at putting me to sleep. Now that there are two fewer episodes each week, I listen to each episode even more times. Since the monologue started, I realized there was something different going on. Even though I listened to each episode several times, now I would be hard-pressed to tell you much about what happened. This has led me to conclude that a big reason that many listeners are struggling with the monologues is that they aren't going anywhere, or we have no basis upon which to anticipate or speculate about where the monologues might be going or how they relate to any storylines. Part of enjoying our favorite docudrama is being drawn into new storylines, and Archer's listeners love to come up with clever theories about what might happen next. We can't do this with the monologues because, by and large, they aren't related to any storyline, and they don't seem to be going anywhere. They're just placeholders until the production team can figure out how to get the cast back together again. Some examples from this week: Freddie with the toilet tank, Susan drinking on air, the pub quiz debacle, Emma turning hay. We know the scriptwriters like to lay breadcrumb trails for future developments, but really, where are any of these incidents going? The only one this week that might bear fruit in the future was Elizabeth realizing she is ready to date. That said, the setup with Zoom yoga and the iffy dinner were painful. So, that's my theory. I hope everyone is staying safe, wearing their masks and social distancing. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Laura. That, yeah, she's raised some very bad points there, I think. You know, about that, you know, we've spoken about them being placeholders, yes, and that they're not really going anywhere. But as I was listening to her, I was looking at, I've listened to them three times again this week. And for Dumpty Dum, I have written out pages of little notes about what happened because I know I wouldn't remember otherwise. So she's quite right. They're not providing very many memorable things, are they? Standout things. Lizzie being ready to date. Yeah, that's the last thing that she's mentioned because that is something... That's a new thing, isn't it? That she's realised she doesn't want to live alone forever, as she said at the end.
Yeah, yeah. There was, you know, Roy was literally a bump in a tent. And yes, there was Iftikhar beforehand, but it was just too soon. So, you know, it's a slight pointer for the future, but she's hardly going to be on Tinder as soon as the COVIDs are over. It's going to be a bit of a slow burn, isn't it?
I don't know. Why not?
Well, you know what?
Lay by on the...
beyond the bypass.
Exactly. I mean, you know, she's a woman of hidden depths, perhaps.
But one thing I would say, though, just very quickly, boom, Laura Jackson, boom. I agree with every word that she said, and she's utterly deconstructed and distilled the issues with... the monologues. Everything that Laura Jackson says, couldn't agree more.
I was thinking that as she was saying it, I was thinking this is another proxy for Roy Field. He got his podcasts plugged earlier on, and now he's had someone else to come on just to sort of, you know, absolutely double down and ratify his thought processes.
She did raise something, you know, Emma doing the tractor driving.
Mm.
Is she qualified to do that? I know that you two will know the answer to that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends if it's a 3 or 4 litre and whether it's a red diesel or normal diesel, Kerry.
Whether that's it's a red tractor or a blue tractor.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, who knows? Who knows? But I must admit, I slightly zoned out when she was doing the tractor ride thing. But that was just me. I'm struggling to properly focus in on these episodes, as I think I've made abundantly clear. So considering I'm feeling somewhat uncomfortable about the fact that I host a podcast about a show when I'm struggling to pay full attention, I'm going to say, Mia, you're up.
Hi, Roy Field, Kerry, and all Dumpty Dum peeps worldwide. This is Mia up in Newcastle land. A couple of things, really. I'm not that enamoured with the storylines or whatever you want to call them, monologues, over the last week. They're all right. I'm not complaining too much because I'd rather have that than nothing, as Tim Bentinck said on Friday. But they're not that rich or deep in content, and to be honest, I'm not that fussed. I'm not really bothered about Freddie and Linda's letter. That was probably all right, but we're clutching at straws here. It's no Alan Bennett talking heads, as has previously been said, but it's all right. I still don't know why they can't do a Zoom call and record it with all the noises around as normal, because they're meant to be normal people in lockdown. Anyway, that aside, I really wanted to call Royfield to say thank you so much. Thank you so, so much for arranging the Friday night Zooms over the last couple of months. It's made lockdown much more bearable. I've thoroughly enjoyed all the chats. My favourites have to be Kirsty and Tracy. The actresses were fantastic, but everybody was marvellous. Thank you so much for putting all that effort in and for arranging the actors and Kerry Davis as well to come on. It's been such a joy and a treat. All power to you. Voting for Dumpty Dum on the podcast, and God bless you all, and have a great week. Bye.
Oh, lovely Mia. And yes,
very lovely.
You deserve credit for that, Royfs.
Oh, thank you.
All the effort that you've put into the Zooms, because they have been really, really cracking.
Oh, thank you. And there might just be a little bit of afters. A little bit of a Zoom pudding, so to speak. I'm trying to cook something up. Can't definitely, definitively say where and when it will happen. But we did have kind of record numbers on the last one watching in on YouTube. At one point, there were like 200 people, just under 200 people watching live on YouTube, which was utterly fantastic, let alone the 60, 70 odd we actually had on the Zoom call. So if there's that amount of demand for it, it'd be silly for me to completely chop it. So watch this space. But whilst it's on
the
top of
my... I do take issue with Mia saying that they're normal people, though, in Ambridge. So I just want to make that point.
True.
I just typed Zoom pudding into Google, hoping for something truly disgraceful, but it's all very safe and anodyne, so I'll just move past it.
Folks, I don't know when this show's going. Well, I do know when the show's going to be out. You're going to be listening to this most definitely on Tuesday, which is the 7th of July. Go to, and I have to like pause now because I really should have set this up beforehand.
If you're going to talk about the voting,
yeah,
it's closed because I tried to vote today.
Oh, bollocks. Yeah.
Which is a shame, isn't it?
So you waited until today to vote for yourself?
I didn't realise it would be closing so soon.
Kerry Warbis.
Yeah.
You could have put on a nice frock and gone along to the awards ceremony. Virtually on Zoom.
Well, maybe that will happen.
Well, let's just hope that enough people did vote for us beforehand. And it has to be said that I've kind of was slightly dragged kicking and screaming into publicising I think it's the British Podcast Awards. I think that's what it's called. We have had an honourable mention one, if not 2 years. I think this is the third or the fourth year of it. And I am a little bit sore about it, maybe the wrong word, because the shows that win generally are the shows that have kind of media friends and whatever, and and we don't have that. But I also genuinely do think that what we do is very different from most podcasts. So it's not just, you know, two or three people as mates having a little bit of a chat and a lark. I think what we've created is the fabled podcast community, but we've allowed listeners to air their stories, to air their life experiences around the stories of the Archers. And I'm not saying that what we do is revolutionary, but it is very different, really, and from most podcasts, and actually much more deeper and affecting people's real lives and stuff. And we put this thing together globally as well. So I've always thought that, not that we should win the Listener's Choice Award, but we should have, one or two plaudits thrown our way. You know, when we set out to do do the podcast? Did I think it was going to turn out the way that it did? Absolutely not. But it has organically become something much more than just a show about the Archers and stuff. And it'll be nice if we got recognised for that. But maybe next year. Maybe next year.
Hear, hear.
Good, good. Ficklin, you've got anything you want to say?
No, I'm all right.
Awesome. Well, then we'll move on then. Now it's Elsa.
Hi, Royfield, Kerry, all the Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Elsa here from Newbury. I've got Ernie with me, but I think he's trying to go to sleep, so we might not hear from him today. And I'm just walking the dog out in the beautiful countryside. This week's episodes of The Archers were fab, weren't they? That feeling from Elizabeth, when she goes, oh, if I marry him, I don't think I'll take his name. And then she goes on her first date with him and realises he's an absolute loser. I've felt that feeling so many times. I felt very soon in that moment, so it was fab. I've decided that I'm going to start sending a care package, a metaphorical care package, to one of the characters each week. And this week my care package is for Elizabeth. I'm going to send her some little sexy underwear that she feels really great when she's internet dating or going on her Zoom calls. I think nothing makes you feel better than having some like really nice, flattering, not necessarily tiny, but just very sexy knickers on. So that's what I'm going to send Elizabeth this week. Maybe you might consider sending something to one of the characters this week who you feel needs a little bit of extra love. And I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
Oh, thanks, Elsa. That was interesting. So care package for Roy, Royfield. What would you put in that?
Jesus. was it an Excel spreadsheet he was doing his dating on? So maybe a Google account so he can update it to Google Sheets or something like that. It's very, very 2009 with him with his Google, with his Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. I don't know.
Peter, care package for Lee.
Well, sorry, very quickly, did I mention on a previous podcast I once heard a man seduce another, or I saw a man seduce another human being with an Excel spreadsheet? It was quite something. It was on a flight from Singapore to Melbourne, and I woke up with his hand on my thigh. I was Tracy Horribind. I was Tracy Horribind because they were so caught up post-spreadsheet under an airline blanket. Anyway, so don't be too dismissive of Roy's... Microsoft product-based seductive
flirting
methods. Yeah. What would I give to Lee?
Yeah.
Mm. Genuinely? What's a genuinely? Am I being horrible to him, or am I trying to genuinely make his life better?
Package.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Some deep heat.
Oh, good shout.
Mm. He's always down the gym, isn't he? I wouldn't want him to have any muscle strains. Help him stay limber.
Mm. I wonder how he's coping with all the gyms being shut.
I mean, these days, is it something a bit more, is it kind of like some kind of isotonic, body rub that he would need?
Yeah, probably. Or you get wired up to something, don't you? God knows. I've never been in a gym.
So what would you give to Adam as a care package? Kerry Warbis? God.
Yeah, why did I ask you to first? God, a sort of rocket to put up his...
Adam just cakes. No, I mean, this is a man who gave up a successful, painfully good-looking, kind of athletic Charlie for someone whose only value is to produce cakes. So just give him a cake. That's, you know, that's enough for him to throw away the love of his life.
Fair. But, you know, I kind of talked about this a few episodes back, believing in relationships, having that there have been some kind of on-air chemistry.
Mm.
So even though I don't in my bones believe Kate and Jakob, I like the idea of them, and I believe there is some level of frisson. I believe in the real world it would just not happen. He's on the spectrum. She's woo and way and out there. It just wouldn't happen. But I believe there is some, you know, level of electricity.
We at least hear them adoring each other,
yeah,
don't we?
Neil and Susan, I get it. You know, even Brian and Jennifer, you know, Linda and her hubby and whatever. There are some couples you just get, right? I never believed Charlie and Adam. Just like I don't believe Adam and Ian. Like, I don't hear the chemistry. I don't hear the frisson. I don't hear the little gentler sides, you know, when they are obviously getting each other or complimenting the other, etc. I never got Adam and Charlie.
Yeah, when
they did that thing where they jumped in a river once, and that was it. Carry on.
No. But when there was a big hoopla about Adam and Ian kissing, I think they're kind of some of the newspapers made some sort of like a lightly homophobic comments, and maybe Twitter had a bit of a go as well. And I remember thinking, no, that's not homophobia. That's just the intense dislike of hearing those two characters kissing. You know, I mean, it's unpleasant on the Archers when there's any kissing at all. But yeah, I just can't. Just they're both completely sort of sexless people. Mm. I know I was accusing Adam of being, you know, very oversexed earlier on, but that's just as reported. That's not sort of how it comes across.
Mm.
And then, you know, those two as a pair having a baby, nothing to do with them being gay, nothing to do with that. But it was just like, these two really as parents?
The thing is that I do believe Ian as a parent. I do. And for years, the character of Ian has expressed paternal instincts, you know, like he's wanted a kid for years, like might be going back for about 7 years or so. So they did the spade work there and I get it. Yeah. And I understand Ian more as a person. I just think Ian and Adam just...
The pairing.
Yeah. It doesn't work on any level, you know, on the radio, let alone the fact that it's two professions where they would never actually spend any time with each other.
Yeah.
Farmer's got to be up early in the morning and a chef don't go to bed till late. So they're never going to see each other.
That's the COVID dream at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. But that was called into question as well with regards to parenting, wasn't it? How would they cope with those jobs?
True. We've probably drifted somewhat from Elsa's initial point, which I'm going to bring us back, steady our ship and sail us into Claire's port.
Hi there, Dumpty Dum. It's Claire from Clapham here. I haven't really been motivated to ring in much recently because, I'll be honest, the monologues aren't really doing it for me. I very much see them as a sort of Archer's methadone, so tides us over until we can get back on the hard stuff. But anyway, I want to say hello to Kerry and Peter and welcome. And it's been really nice to hear some new voices and get to extend our Dumpty Dum family. This week, I just was really disappointed in Ifty because he's clearly let himself go during lockdown or before, maybe. What was he doing in the menopause yoga anyway? That didn't make any sense. But, you know, I think we all had a vision, or I certainly had a vision of Ifty as, you know, quite handsome and smart and dapper sort of fellow. And, he's clearly not all that, is he? But at least he's got Elizabeth to a place where she perhaps wants to put herself out there. Maybe that was the point. So, that would be interesting to see which way it goes. Please not in Roy's direction. I don't think that would be a very good idea. And and I don't enjoy listening to Susan's radio show. I mean, BBC local radio can be idiosyncratic at the best of times, but I think even they wouldn't have Susan. But I do quite enjoy Tracy's team talks. So they feel more fresh and honest. And they sort of reflect what you might put on a YouTube video, whereas I just don't think that Susan's a realistic Radio Borsetshire presenter. But that said, let's just keep going and get through this, folks. And it's lovely to see people on a Friday, and we'll keep going. Cheers, bye.
Yes, Claire from Clapham. So if this is methadone and we're waiting for the hard stuff, the Archers is heroin, is it?
Well, yes.
what illegal drug is the Archers? I wouldn't know, obviously.
It's not cocaine or speed, is it?
Maybe it is heroin.
Could be. Yeah, the Ifty disappointment thing. I I remember him as being some sort of catch who was lovely and kind. And, you know, Lizzie just backed away from him because the timing was wrong. But now she's kind of saying, oh, was he really that boring? And look at the state of him. And he's eating pasta pesto in my face on the screen. I was gutted about that. I really hoped he would be someone she'd hook up with again.
Talking about lockdown, one of the things which we all experienced first off was many people from our dim and distant past reaching out to us and saying, hello, how are you? Are you coping? And she misconstrued that, didn't she? She thought that he was going to be, you know, all about the, you know, maybe a little bit of romance. And he so obviously wasn't. So there was, he's let himself go. Let's put that to one side. But his intent wasn't, you know, in effect to try and wine and dine her through a Zoom call, because he was shoveling his face full of pasta. And as you said, he didn't even ask me about me. He was just like blithely chatting away. But we all had that experience in the first 2-3 weeks of lockdown when things were, you know, severely locked down. And, you know, we all thought the sky's about to fall in on our heads, that, you know, there'd be an old school friend or work colleague or whatever would just say, you know, hi, you know, how are you? And that's in effect what he did. He was just checking that she was all right. And because it was somebody from a romantic past, she
imagined marriage straight away.
Exactly. And I thought that was wonderful in terms of you know, the inner workings of her mind and stuff. You know, if I got married, I wouldn't take his name, yeah, type of thing.
Practicing your signature of the boyfriend in primary school or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of thing.
What was his name? Kerry Warbis.
Wow, my first boyfriend was called Paul Newman.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I've told Peter this.
But you pair have so many conversations behind my back.
We do.
That it's like
but
becoming.
Only you complained.
What?
You were fully included, and then you suddenly stomped onto the WhatsApp chat and kind of like forced us to scurry off to another corner.
And boy, are you making me pay for it now with all your little in jokes between the pair of you. Oh, Kerry, remember this conversation we had? What about that, Peter? Ha ha ha. Whatevs.
Well, I will lobby later on to try and get you re-included into the offline chat, Royfield. I make that promise.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think three's a crowd on a WhatsApp chat. Three's not a crowd on a podcast. There you go. Claire, thank you. We got one more call, and it's going to be a good one. We've had one Laura Jackson. This person goes just simply by the name of Laura.
Hello, Royfield, guest host and Dumpty Dummers around the world. My name's Laura, and I'm a first-time caller in a row. I am, unfortunately, a Rob Titchener. I'm 30, I'm a doctor, and I live in Scotland. The reason I'm phoning in is that today I heard the episode of Elizabeth's internal monologue during yoga and Freddie trying to fix a toilet. And I was driving at the time and I just sort of involuntarily screamed at the radio because I had no words. And I still don't. It was easily the worst sort of 12 minutes of radio I think I've ever heard. I think we've all had a tough few months, and I, for one, just want a bit of a juicy storyline to distract me. And if that meant, you know, Kirsty slowly finding out about Phil, or some sort of romance, or, you know, something we can all get behind, you know, Rob Titchener could come back and Lee could beat him up. And it was just something interesting, would be great. Not plumbing. Anything but plumbing. I recommended the arts to a friend the other day, and then as I said it, just realized, please don't listen, because you're going to think I'm crazy for listening to this for years. And it's quite embarrassing at the moment. So my plot prediction is that hopefully this is the low point and the only way is up. I hope so anyway. But I just want to say thank you very much for Dumpty Dum. It's always made me feel like I've got a bit of a community and always brighten my day. Because certainly I'm not going to get any new friends talk to about the archers at the moment. So,
Laura, welcome, welcome, welcome. I love the first time caller-inners. I think she said she was a doctor in Scotland. I kind of missed a little bit
yes,
of that.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and it was the worst 12 minutes of radio listening to a toilet. And he's desperate for something interesting.
I thought yeah. she was going to say worst 12 minutes of my life. That's and then she said of radio. But there was such sort of gravitas and feeling in the way she was saying it. I was like, oh God, it really, it's at the very bottom.
Yeah, especially someone who's a doctor and that being the 12 worst minutes of her life would be a worry.
But that might be it. I mean, you've got a fairly grown up job. My job is utterly trivial. So for me, the Archers dovetails very neatly with my existence. Maybe if you're a doctor in Scotland, you need something. It's actually somewhere to go and have some genuine relief and maybe get away. Whereas for me, it really doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not saying that Laura is so emotionally vulnerable that she needs the Archers to prop her up. But it might be a welcome distraction.
I liked that she said, she's recommended it to a friend but doesn't want them to listen to this because the friend will think she's crazy if they listen at this point as their first experience.
Well, we were sorry, Royfield, you're going to get cross again. Hey, Kerry, when we were talking on the phone the other day...
hey, Pete.
It was very much about the fact that there's no... Actually, it was a conversation with Royfield. There's no sort of general ongoing exposition of the plot to help new listeners really get into it. There is a kind of general assumption that you know everything, you know all the characters. So when would be the kind of high point to parachute someone in? If you force someone to go back in time, when would be the point where it'd be like, this is the ultimate hook, it goes straight in your cheek and you're landed?
Ooh, yeah, where you will get everything quite straight away. Would it be in the sort of build-up to the Rob and Helen stuff?
Well, I'm going to project my own opinion onto it, but like before it, you just had too much of the characters involved. I mean, it was when Rob first arrived, he was very, very, very irritating, but you did also realise that you were, like listening, you were on the edge of your seat and paying full attention.
Exactly. I think, that would hook you, I think.
And the editor of the Archers at the time wrote an article, didn't she, that we looked at, that where she was talking about exactly the problem that some of the callers today have mentioned, which is just that it's they've moved too far away from the format. They've moved too far away from the kind of those kind of more kind of plot-led and dramatic sort of episodic arcs. Yeah.
That was the article in The Times, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. And it was by a previous editor.
Yeah, but she was the editor. Was it he or she? I can't remember.
I think it's
but
a bloke.
They were the editor when the Rob and Helen plot line was happening. So I think that was part of the Times kind of mentioned it to kind of give them credibility to sort of add weight to your comic.
Yeah,
that was a kind of real high point.
Can I just say that she sounded lovely, this new caller in her, and I'm quite smitten. That's all I've got to say.
I intentionally didn't say anything about Laura's voice because I didn't want to come across as sleazy, Royfield.
Well,
actually, where's that Scottish guy gone who used to ring in?
He was good. There is something about the Scottish voice, isn't there? Mm. Just crumbs.
Until Jack started mauling me, I thought he had a nice voice right at the beginning, but...
Cool. R. Kerry, do we have any emails?
We do. We have got stuff from Matt Williams, Jenny from Southampton, and Julie Harvey. And I'm going to access those right now. I'm always taken by surprise when you say this, Roy. The first one we have was from Matt Williams. And I like this because it's about the bees and the honey. And basically, he didn't write in, but you alerted us to the fact that he'd done a tweet, hadn't he? Matt Williams, he wanted to let Dumpty Dum know that he'd just listened to the conversation about bees in the latest Dumpty Dum episode and wanted to correct Royfield that bees do not give us honey, we take their honey. No animal makes slash produces food for humans, but we feel it's okay to take them.
Royfield is the J.K. Rowling of bees.
Yeah. He is.
I was properly scolded by this man. It's like, yeah, of course, you're absolutely correct. Yes, I'm shamefaced. I'm in the corner. We take their good nectar. We haven't earned it at all. We steal it from them even. So yes, sorry.
Oh dear.
I quite like bees though. They're awesome.
Yeah, I've got honey guilt now.
Well, me too. And we still haven't had, no one's actually called in and told us how we can actually stop the catastrophic decline of the humble, you know, bumblebee, honeybee, sorry.
Was it Emma who had started off Bee Corner that you named it? Was her name Emma, I think?
Yeah, and she, Emma didn't call in.
No. Oh.
Well, yeah, we wait with bated breath for the bee update. We were all excited about it, weren't we? Maybe she's been busy.
Ba-boom, well done.
The next one is from Jenny from Southampton. So she says, hi, Royfield, esteemed Kerry co-host, brilliant, and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jenny from Southampton. I've just listened to the Pargeter Triptych. Absolutely brilliant. I actually didn't realise I'd listened to all three back to back and was disappointed to find there was nothing left when it ended. I think it works so well because it's more theatrical in style than the Archer's monologues. Nigel speaks to the listener rather than to himself. The latter is what sometimes feels a bit unnatural in the Archers. The Archers team are searching for a halfway house between theatricality and reality, whereas Graham Seed goes all in with the soliloquising. You can therefore lose yourself in the drama rather than be constantly reminded that that's what you are listening to. That said, I'm still grateful for the episodes we're getting. I shall end with a plea to Mr. Seed. Please, sir, can we have some more?
Well, I did warn him. I said there were going to be people asking for more, didn't I?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were good.
They were very good. Recommend. They were very good.
Yeah.
I suppose one of the reasons why the parties of triptychs are good and are very different from the Archers at the moment is because he can, as the ghost in effect, go throughout the whole village and comment on everybody. And I think it goes to your point slightly, Kerry, whereas in lockdown, it forced us to look at humanity and also, as you said, then the simple things in life, whereas these internal monologues have all been incredibly selfish in effect, where people just worried about their own mundane petty squabbles and, you know, fights and issues, etc. Whereas the ghost of Nigel, you know, was questioning different characters within the village and going from this person to that, and there's much more of a connective tissue type of thing. So it didn't feel as claustrophobic as these monologues.
Yeah,
there is a sort of dark matter to the kind of the normal universe of the Archers, which is all the characters whose voices you never hear. So, for instance, Frieda was the most famous one. So they could have activated these characters for a series of, you know, monologues through the coronavirus, so that you could have just heard it. And that would have been quite interesting. What's Tracy's dad called? I can't remember.
Bert. It's Bert Horobin.
Bert, thank you. Bert Horobin. Yeah, so some of these characters whose voices you never hear, that could have just been a very easy way of hearing the news from the rest of the village without having to get caught up in, although that does require casting a whole new bunch of actors. Forget it, I said anything, it's an absolutely appalling idea.
Well, maybe the current actors could pretend to be the other actors, because Fweddy, he did a really good impersonation of Russ, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I thought that. He's absolutely cracking. That's why I made the comment about the letters being so difficult to act, because I think he's a very good actor. And I did think the strain showed a bit as he was trying to act out his feelings as projected forward as he was talking to Linda. It was like, even saying it, even trying to explain it is difficult.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, reading out a letter you've just, or an email you've just written or are writing, is sort of feels unnatural as well.
True, true. Do we have another email?
We do, we do. It's from Julie Harvey. And she says, now she's put craving, but I think she means cracking. And I'm going to change it to cracking, whether she meant that or not. Cracking week on the Archers this week. Must officially say I love Freddie. Such a good actor. Love his character development. What a kind and lovable young man. Love the Linda's letter storyline. Very touching exchange between them. Lizzie gets back into dating and can laugh about the experience. What a happy relief. Plus some other light-hearted banter with Susan and Tracy and loved up Emma and Ed. More feeling of character exchanges and some storylines being moved forward. They seem to be getting the hang of the new format. Though for me, I've mostly quite enjoyed the monologues. After last week's rather depressing and worrying Kirsty storyline, this was warm and fuzzy and uplifting. Just lovely. All the best, Dumpty Dum and Dumpty Dummers, Julie Harvey.
Well, I'm glad that it's working for somebody, you know.
Well, I agree with her. And I do think I've maybe been drawn too far in your two's direction this week. And I think that, you know, I did enjoy Emma and Ed. I thought it was really nice. What are the qualities that Ed likes in a wife? Beautiful, clever and good with a tractor. And, you know, we found out that, you know, it reinforced what we already knew, that, you know, Emma is very competent in a multiple, you know, number of fields. And I really did enjoy I have enjoyed generally the Horobin sisters back and forth, you know, even if lots of people have complained about some of the holes in the plausibility of it and some of the, you know, and the general feel of it. Sorry.
Yeah, that's me, isn't it? You mean me? Yeah.
But it is nice to hear. It is occasionally nice to hear, because if you're doing something like this, it can become a bit of an echo chamber. And my natural instinct is to sort of want to get along and to agree with people. So I'm kind of like, oh yeah, that's bad. And then I hear a call like that, and it suddenly reminds me that I haven't had the experience a lot of people have had. I have just quite merrily let it wash over me until the second listen today, when I really did become you two.
But I was thinking earlier on and didn't say it, so I'll say it now, is I do think I am overly obsessed with needing it to be believable.
Yes, well, I don't want to agree with you that it's needless or to try and agree with any negative comments about you, but you do make some quite exact comments about the show, and I think to myself, and what it shows to me is how little I pay attention to the details. Like, I'm, you know, it would never, I wouldn't notice if one week Ben was driving a Massey Ferguson and next week it was suddenly one of those green ones, you know, whereas I reckon you would have that in your Big Archer's notebook in a second with, you know, your four colour pen flashing across the page, circling arrows.
Yeah, so I'm having a word with myself. Sorry. Yeah.
Do you have one of those walls at home with kind of cuttings and red ribbons, you know?
Yeah, strings leading from one post-it note to another, and
yeah, and Chaz Palmateri sitting at a desk in front of you, and you're sort of like feeding him a whole load of stories.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, why don't we just hold that thought, chaps, just for now. We'll come back the other side. We'll have a touch of the socials after we've had an advertisement break from one of our advertisers that would like to give us a little bit of shekel.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Good day, everyone. Well, another shortish week, understandably, with the current situation. We started off by talking about Tracy, who was recruiting her trivia team, and Freddie, who was trying to mend a toilet. And I thought that sounded rather like a parody synopsis, so I asked if you had any other parody synopsis suggestions. Fiona Goldsmith said, "Sorry, I couldn't possibly better the ridiculous parody synopsis being dribbled out of my radio at 7:03 every night." Rob Williams says, "Lily's going to go mad if the bathroom's out of action all day. At least I've got an ensuite. Someone please remind me, how many bathrooms are there in this place? There only seems to be one bathroom outside of Milady's chamber. I've been in caravans with better facilities." Richard Morley said, "Future episodes include Kate sewing on a button, Susan opening a chocolate bar, and Lillian polishing some shoes. The sheer mundanity of the artist right now is beyond parody." Joanne Smith said, "It took me half the episode to realise Tracy was trying to get people to turn up for a trivia team. I kept thinking she was trying to get them all to a practice cricket and that the practice was scheduled at the same time as the Bulls virtual quiz night. I loved that Kate was being muted and her class was texting each other in the middle because they weren't paying attention to her. I think a parody episode would include Pip and David calling into Susan's show to praise how helpful and dedicated Josh has been around the farm." Bridget Deutsch said, "Natasha counts the money in her pension fund and Susan is lost for words." Matthew Penny just wanted to know, "Where was Tracy when she was doing her team talk? She sounded like a submarine." And the final word will go to Witherspoon, who says, "Ruth wins the Great British Bake Off and Kate splits the atom." So thank you very much, everyone. You came up with some great synopses there. I do appreciate that. There was an episode where there was a lovely letter from Linda and some excellent work from Emma. And I thought it was nice to hear from more characters as well. And the only thing that surprised me was I did not know that Emma could drive a tractor. Linda Cody says, not really pleasantly surprised. I'm following still just to keep up a bit, but he's very boring without the real archers. I was so excited with the storyline, especially the Philip, Gavin and Kirsty storyline, wondering what would happen with the wedding and would Kirsty find out things about Philip that hadn't at the time come to light. Nobody's fault, as it is impossible for the actors to record together at the moment, but miss the old archers dreadfully. Rob Williams wondered whether Linda could really have started a letter with such a blatant tautology. And for the life of me, I can't remember what the tautology was, but I believe you, Rob. Carol Royston said, best lockdown episode so far, I thought. Well done, Emma. I wondered who was going to win the trivia challenge. And also, I wondered whether Susan is developing a drinking problem. Sarah Spilsbury said, lockdown lush, but I don't see her as a G&T girl. That's Lillian's territory. Lambrini? And Stephen Bowden said, I think that this might be an excruciating and heavy-handed alcohol problem story. I already die a little inside whenever a Susan monologue pops up. And the drinking, hers not mine, since there's no Friday episodes, nor ever have been Saturday ones, and I need to keep on top of the COVID chub, just makes things worse. Team Tracy all the way for the quiz, unless there's a Robert Jim Yuckolt dream team to cheer for. Linda Curtis said, I just think she's nervous and very unsure of herself. She is worried about what people think of her. The drink is just to give her courage, but we all know that could lead to an addiction if she doesn't face this situation when sober. I think Susan is quite insecure, and that is why she blurts out things, and then she's sorry. And I think that's very good insight. And then for the last episode, I was at the beach seeing a friend and I had to drive 5Ks the day before just to get a little bit of network so that I could post up to Dumpty Dum. And there was just about 30 seconds when I managed to get network. So I said, look, I can't keep driving out. There's no network. So can somebody please tell me what's happening? And Stephen Bowden summed it up beautifully, said Susan was asked at no notice to host the drive time show on Radio Borset show, but turned it down to have a chat with Tracy instead. No news on who ended up entertaining the commuters on their drive from Hollerton Junction to Faircastle or from Felpersham to Little Croxley, avoiding the roadworks at Rotherham in the Vale. And I'm just going to leave it at that because I think that's a great way to end the week. You're a very funny person, Stephen. So, yes, thank you once again to everybody who got involved. I'm hoping that Yerkelbear is feeling better soon. He's had a little bit of a knee injury. So I've taken over, and especially not least because we are on school holidays at the moment. So, yes, you may get me again next week, or you may get Yerkelbear. Who knows? Either way, we would love you to join us on Facebook. So until I speak to you again, hooroo.
Thank you for that, Millie Bill. That was awesome as always, and a proper insight into the thinking minds as opposed to the resting minds of our Dumpty Dummers on the Book of Face. Now, Kerry Warbis, you is big on Twitter, ain't you?
Aye.
Right. So why don't you hit us with some of your best tweets that you have spotted with your very own personage in the last 7 days?
I will. I've gone a bit mad, Royfield, this week. I've got loads. Don't worry. I think it's only about seven, but so I'll whistle through them. I've got the first one was from Madding Crowd, who's at Further From on the Twitters. I like this one. Bloody hell, Susan, you work in a shop, just buy some paracetamol and get on with it. Rather than make a brew out of nettles and beans, that was. The next one is East of Dulwich, who is at East_of_Dulwich on the Twitters. Could it be more interesting if one of the characters took magic mushrooms?
Well, wasn't that...
Discuss.
Wasn't that kind of like Ed Grundy circa 2005?
Yeah. Then we have another from Griselda Strange, who's at Morrissey Girl on the Twitters. I reckon Will be loving this lockdown. Kids all at home, living off the land. Shotgun on his lap as he sits on a rocking chair drinking homebrew. He's not a redneck at all, is he, Will? Much. Yeah, Peter, what were you going to say?
No, I just felt very scared there for a moment. The thought of Will with his shotgun, I don't, you know, and those poor children.
Yeah. Then we have Pajama Llama, who is at Shaz Llama. This has got a bit of a sweary word in it. Maybe I won't say that. Anyway, she's put, working class people are unable to use words longer than two syllables. Boils my piss.
Ooh.
This is a nicer one from Olympians. It was a bit of an interaction, this, between Olympians and the archer's Leica. Olympian said, can't imagine Brian doing an online quiz. And then Archer's Leica says, more an on-wine quiz for the Aldridges, I suspect. Quite liked that.
Mm.
So tweet of the week. This is from I'm Buddish, who's also known as A Bit Buddish. And I know I've used him before, but he's very good. So this is Rebel Freddy. Look, you can't fight the cistern when your entire family are an institutional part of the cistern.
Now, you see, like, when you come out of clever tweets like that, it's all over my head.
Don't be silly. Cistern.
I know.
Part of the cistern.
I know.
Royfield, you're not that dumb.
I am, you know. I'm very dull. I'm very dull and not bright at all. But thank you for the tweets, as always, Miss Warbis.
I saw that tweet. Oh.
Did you?
I saw that tweet, and I will confess I did waste about 2.5 minutes trying to trump him with a better toilet-based play on words, and then gave up and stomped off and did something else.
Dumdydum.com, folks, go there. It's got awesome things on there. You can actually go onto dumdydum.com and you can see all of the Friday Zooms. They're all there, and you can go watch them. It obviously links through to good old YouTube, but they're all there. You know, relive the glory of us speaking to Tim Bentinck or Anya Silvinsky or Annabelle Dowler or Susie Rids. You know, all of the actors who we've had on basically through the lockdown. You can get them all by going on to dumbydum.com. Good news is, the shop, the store, I think it's kind of 3/4 back open. Obviously, seasoned listeners of this podcast will know that Kerry, I and Peter aren't sat in a back bedroom full of mountains of T-shirts and mugs, but it's actually third-party companies all dotted around the globe that basically send out this stuff to you. They print it, then they send it out on your say-so when you hit that button on our shop. Now, the COVIDs, the coronas, they're kind of mostly over. And I do know that one listener who purchased something a couple of months ago just got it last week. So I think you can safely go back onto the dumdydum.com store, or for the Americans, or shop for the Brits, and purchase a mug which says Dumdydum. And it's just a nice way of giving us a little bit of support. Patreon is another way which you can help support this podcast. We're giving us $2 per show. You don't need an American dollar account. What it does, it says, right, this is exchange rate right here and now. If you have sterling or maybe Australian dollars or pesos or drachma, no one has drachma anymore, but you get my point, right? Whatever currency you have in your bank account, Patreon does a conversion and then gives us $2 per episode. And it's just a nice way of showing your support for the podcast and helping us to keep the lights on at Dumdydum Towers here. And now Kerry's going to read out the next bit because it is in red.
Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message. Or you can text your message to us by starting your message with DUM to 077 862 00690.
Twitter is where a lot of the relationships which have been core to Dumdydum actually started. You can find Yokel Bear on Twitter by typing in Yokel Bear. You can find us where we're at dumdydum. Kerry is found at
Kerry Warbis.
What's that
banging yeah. next door? My neighbour's putting up a shelf all of a sudden or something. I'm so sorry.
Peter, where can people find you on Twitter?
I'm at Pete Fickling. I was desperately trying to find if I could get like a WAV file of a peacock then, but I wasn't quick enough when Kerry was doing her sound effects.
Peter, there's always next week, sir. There's always next week. And I can be found at Royfield. Not exactly central to the whole dum-de-dum experience, but pretty important is Facebook. I know there's a lot of Archers fans are on Facebook and they like to do things on Facebook. And one of the things I like to do on Facebook is talk about the Archers. If you like to talk about the Archers and you're on Facebook and you're not part of the dum-de-dum group, why don't you just like type in dum-de-dum and become part of dum-de-dum on Facebook? Ooh. That's us. That's me anyway. I'm just about done. Are you done, Peter?
Yeah, perfectly.
How about you, Kerry? I bet you still got more vim and verve in you. I bet you can go for another half an hour.
I can, and I'm bracing myself for Adam.
Oh.
I just withered.
Well, listen, I'm going to leave you to him because I'm off. Right.
Okay.
I'll see you all again. Same time, same place, same bat channel. And oh, and don't forget, I think we're going to cook up a little surprise, a little something, a little bit of extras on the Zooms for all those people that really enjoyed those Friday meetups on Zoom and on YouTube. I must admit, I love doing them. It's kind of silly to completely throw the whole format to one side if there is a demand, and it seems like there is. So stay tuned for info about further Zoomage. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.